Hello and welcome to the IDEMS podcast. I'm Lily Clements, a data scientist, and I'm here with David Stern, a founding director of IDEMS. Hi, David.
Hi, Lily. We've had a couple of episodes already on ICOT, the International Conference on Teaching Statistics, but we haven't really talked about your textbooks, and they were an important part of this.
No, we haven't talked about the textbooks, and as you say, they were a very big part of this. Probably a rare talk that didn't touch too much on AI there, but we did several talks on the textbooks, or had the textbooks come into several talks.
I think that's the right way to frame it, because of course when the abstracts were submitted, the textbooks didn't exist. And so the textbooks were relevant to and got inserted in a number of talks.
Well, that's because they're so, I guess, so involved in so many aspects, which, as you say, when we wrote the abstracts, they didn't exist, but I wasn't aware of how much these are going to actually fit into so much work that we were doing.
And where they've come from as well. A lot of the work that we were presenting on is what has motivated and what has identified the need for the textbooks. So we've mentioned the textbooks. We have done previous episodes around your work on the textbooks, but we haven't given a recent update. Should we start with that?
That's a great idea. Let's start with that. So previously on the textbooks, we are taking open source textbooks with the correct licenses, and we are converting them into a pretext format. And we have an AI agent system behind it now that we're building and which is becoming very robust, in my opinion. And we've now got a set of 33 textbooks which are fully translated into pretext. There's a whole list of a bunch more to do, which is absolutely fine, with the hope that we can then build into them a variant system. Do you want to explain a bit about the variant system? I feel that you're better placed on this.
I'm happy to do that. I want to just say a little bit more first about what you've done.
Okay.
In what you've done, these textbooks you've taken, you haven't just taken them, you've also contacted the authors. You've shown the authors what you've done, and you've got a whole variety of responses. Some exceedingly positive, some more reticent. A few have revoked their license.
One has. And I think, to be fair, that was that they had the wrong license on there and they didn't realise the implications of that.
But in some sense, this is a good thing. That one is not in the 33. So the point is that these interactions with authors on this have been a really important part of this, because what we're trying to build is not just a repository of textbooks which people can use, but it's a community of people authoring and adapting and editing and reimagining content in a way that becomes a community.
And to the ones that were reticent, I think it was as simple as actually explaining to them in better detail in a follow-up email, talking them through the questions that they had, that actually we don't have anyone who's unhappy. Every author seems to be very happy. We've got some that are extremely happy and extremely excited, and we've got some which are just great, okay, cool, happy for you to use my book. And they don't go beyond that, and that's absolutely fine. That's perfect.
So, as you said, there's the one who changed the license, so this has actually helped them to articulate that they didn't want it under that license. Everyone else, well, this is what the license was for, so that it could be reused, so that people can do things with it. There were a few who would still prefer that people get sent to their official version, and that's fine. And I think this is something which we should probably be instituting more generally with the book, that the original version should be linked to it with prominence, so that we're not trying to distract from the original versions or replace the original versions. We are just building on top of it. And that is exactly what every other author who you say has been happy with. This is why I gave it the license. You know, one of the comments that came out, I put it under an open license so people would reuse it. So yes, we're happy for it to be reused.
Yes, yeah. Well, one in front of me is, I'm delighted to see you including my text in your project. Reach out anytime if you have any questions that an author will be able to help out with. But that particular author said, I don't think I ever could have had the ambition to write a book from scratch, but adaptable open education materials allowed me to get started and realize I could write much more than I expected in the beginning. And so they are kind of our perfect, they are someone that took these open source resources in the beginning, put them into a book, and then they formed their book around that.
And now their book is one of the ones which we hope will inspire others and be taken up and be used by others. So exactly, this is exactly where increasing that ability to do that, making that easier, helping more people to do this, helping a community to form around that is the key thing that we're trying to achieve. And that last point of the community I'm going to come back to, and this does come back to the variance piece that you pointed to, that I will explain more. But one of the things that I loved in our interactions with a couple of authors who were here, you met four or so book authors who you'd been interacting with online at the event.
And I met some who have books that I hadn't come across yet, who I will be very open to translating their books, or I will be doing their books into pretext, depending on various things.
Exactly. And this idea of taking these, and this is, of course, a community who is already interacting on these and writing these. They are central in writing a lot of these books. And so one of the things that I found with one of those authors was that although initially I would argue he was very much at one end in terms of, yeah, I made it open, you can use it, by the end of the discussion, he was very much at the other end. What can I do? How could I get involved? And that was also really reassuring to me, that even people who at the moment are willing to have it reused, but their view of how reuse works is, well, I made it open, it's not my problem anymore. I want people to reuse it, but it's nothing to do with me. By the end of this, one of the concrete questions that I had for him is, would you be willing to take some time and accredit other people's variants to say they reflect, to do essentially a review process of what variants that others create and say, yes, this variant is still a valid representation of the things that I care about. And he was very happy with that idea. The idea that not only could people reuse his materials, but he could then interact with them and actually have a dialogue and have a say and being able to articulate what is important about his book that he doesn't want to lose. And where is it that other people changing it and using different examples and digging in and adapting it is exactly what he would have hoped. But that this is not just happening by people doing it. This is something where now there are mechanisms to have those feedback loops, to have that accreditation built in. This is what we'd always hoped, and yet it's only now talking to a few of these authors that I'm confident, yes, as we hoped, this is going to be good for authors, this is going to give them something they want, rather than being a burden. So we still need to build the mechanisms to enable this, we still need to make it happen, there's a lot of work to do, but it's a really good validation of the concept.
Absolutely. And it's also very nice after working away on these books for the last few months to be out there and see it and see the reactions and see that interest in when people get it or when people understand it, by which I mean I make it sound like when they get it rather than once I've explained it better. Yeah. Once I'm able to articulate it, how they kind of switch. And they're very excited by it.
Let's talk about the variants very briefly, because this is something where we tried to present a bit about this, or you presented a bit about this, and actually one of the presentations which we gave together, there was from the audience this very polite question, but rather very powerful for us. It was, I'm understanding here, and I think if I'm understanding right, this is a paradigm shift. But I don't know what the paradigm shift is. I don't know what it is.
I loved that point because that was the first question that we got in that talk, and it couldn't have been a better first question because he set it up, he set you up beautifully to then go into it in more detail. I guess it's very easy to underplay it. And he kind of got, wait a second, there's something more going on here. This is big.
This is big, exactly. And this is where I don't want to go into the variants in too much detail. We've talked about variants in other contexts. This is something which has been discussed in other episodes in other ways. But I do want to try and articulate what I think came out as part of that articulation, which I hope can be really clear. It is this fact that many open authors, authors of open educational resources or open books, are keen for others to take up and pick their resources. But the question is, if somebody takes up and picks up your resource and you never know about it, then there's no interaction, there's no community building, there's no response. You can't take responsibility for what they've created because you don't know about it, you don't have interaction. Now, some open authors really want communities who'd make these adaptations to feed it back to them and say, if you feed it back, then I might integrate it into the book if I agree with it, and then the book will be better. And both of these are fine. And both of these are good as part of what I believe a system should be. But they don't address the fundamental issue. Well, if you're wanting your book to be used in different contexts, let's say a book that was authored in the US to be used in Kenya, then you don't want the Kenyan instance to become the book in the main book to your American audience. That wouldn't make your book better, but it does make the book work better in the Kenyan context. So these two need to exist in separation. But you don't want it to be totally separate, because there might be innovations they brought in that you want to know about and that you might then bring in to your book. But more importantly, you might then make changes to your book, and we want that to then perpetrate. And then other than that, you might have somebody else who has taken the book that you created and meant that instead of being with R, it's now with Python. And the Kenyan book might want to now say, well, I'd like a version in Python as well. And so now you have this complex mix of different people taking responsibility for different things. And so the key thing is, if you want that to be a coherent whole, so the author of the original book could say, the Python book, I don't know Python, I don't take responsibility for the Python part, but I can take responsibility that this is an accurate representation of the ideas in my book. And so you could actually accredit the Python one, and you could accredit the Kenyan one. So I don't know the Kenyan context, but the statistical ideas presented in this book, as far as I can tell, it's an accurate representation of the ideas that I wanted to represent in my book. And so now you actually can have different people taking responsibility for where they have expertise. Your localization process, your software dependency processes, and there are many more. Language, there's a whole set of different ways. Assessment is the one that I love, and we never talk enough about. But one of the books, or many of the books that are there, I look at them and I say, if only they put their assessment in Stack. But that's not something that each book should do, because that's too much work. But if we could do this and now actually have the Stack assessment, which then comes across and works with these different books, maybe that could be an enhancement. But it's not the same people who necessarily are the specialists at that digital assessment piece. So being able to have things which now are within individual books or that cut across books, that complex mix where different people take responsibility for different parts, that's what we're finding is not easy to do in current systems. And that's what the textbook system is really trying to create. And this is why, if it's successful, it is potentially this paradigm shift, because it is enabling collaboration to happen in a way that just was never imaginable before. And I think the way these textbooks could be reused, not just used, is central. That reusability piece, which has always been the promise of open resources, but really difficult to implement. That's what we believe the systems we're building could now enable. And I think that was the bit which struck a chord with a number of people, because they were able to identify this as a problem they were having in their either use of resources or related to others using the resources they were creating.
I think it was, yeah, something that really struck a chord with them and with me, that for me it also helped really articulate it, was when you said open source isn't enough. Because it being open source still doesn't allow to have those structures in place, or doesn't allow, you lose that relationship still between the books.
It's not that you lose the relationships, it's that there aren't the structures to preserve the relationships. Open source on its own does not guarantee that you can have these relationship preserving structures. And that's why open source is not enough.
Yeah. And I think that that was a really, or is a really good, a really powerful point. At least spoke to a lot of the people at ICOTS on what we're doing here. And, you know, oh, well, no, because you can already do forking. And so why is this different? Yes, you can, but we want to do more.
Yeah. The way that was expressed and came out at another point was the fact that you can fork or you can embed as a package or something else. But what we're looking at is sort of shades of grey. It's somewhere between that. And it is around what you take responsibility for. And this is the key thing, that this enabling people to take responsibility for the things that they know and they care about. Ideally, the person adapting it to the Kenyan context, they don't need to be necessarily a world expert, as the author of the book might be, on the statistical context. But they do need to be someone who understands the Kenyan context well. And then if they do a really good adaptation, they are adapting the bit that they know well, and they're taking responsibility for what they know well. And if they don't fully understand all the statistical concepts that are in that book, well, that's okay, because they're not taking responsibility for that. That responsibility remains with the original author. And so this issue about what you take responsibility for, it just widens the pools of people who can actually do the work.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And seeing the reactions, I mean, as you say, we managed to get it into 3 talks, or it was relevant in 3 talks, but then there were also other talks that we attended. There was, I think it was on the first day, a talk that you attended where you were like, this is oddly familiar to what we want to do, of someone talking about variants and having variants of books, and you realizing, hey, we can have a link here. And several talks throughout the week where it was clear that this is something that could or will be very valuable.
Yeah. Let me just comment specifically on that talk that I attended on the first day, where it was clear that it wasn't just that our idea is relevant to others. Others are having the same idea, but they're not trying yet to do the implementation of this at the scale that we're trying to do. They're just looking at this as, well, how do I make my resources reusable? That's the question that actually a lot of people are asking. And it's really nice to see that there is effort from individual authors of individual sets of resources to actually build their resources and make their resources in such a way that they are more reusable. So it is a problem which is identified that people within the community are working on, but that I think we're way ahead of. We are really ahead of the curve on this. That this is a problem that is recognised, there is interest, and we are potentially coming up with a way of doing this which will serve the community. To the extent that we also had discussions with representatives of the Executive Committee of IASE, the International Association for Statistical Education, and others, including ISI itself, where there is really this potential for this to become a community effort. We need to be in touch. We need to describe the role that ISE could play as an accrediting body and see whether that is a role that they as an organization want to take up. But we can build the structures that would enable them to do this that don't currently exist. And so we're creating the role for them, which they were, in my opinion, as an organization, they're set up to take on this role, to actually advise people on, well, which textbooks should you use in different contexts and so on? Which ones can we accredit as actually upholding which standards? These are the questions that we can now enable ISE to take that role in a way that just hasn't been possible before.
Yeah, there's a lot of really exciting things to come and a lot of really positives that came out of the week, which, as you say, that was from the talk on the Monday when you were incredibly jet-lagged as well.
I was struggling to stay awake.
I was too on the Monday. And actually, I ended up attending a talk that I wanted to try and rest my eyes during, but it was so good I couldn't. But anyway, I guess just to add how these textbooks became relevant in three talks. One was in a panel discussion on the textbooks, or was in a presentation within a panel discussion where I talked about the textbooks. But the other two were ones that had a kind of abstract and paper behind them. And I realized while writing the PowerPoints for them, or while writing their slides, both of these books, or both of these courses that we're presenting on, came from the same course. These are both variants of an initial course.
Yeah. What was really interesting is you were only an author on one of those two papers. You were presenting the other one on behalf of Abu Bakari, who didn't get his visa and wasn't able to attend. So you weren't even an author on that second paper. You'd been involved in the work, in the previous work, which had grounded that paper. And so when you looked at it and you realized, actually, this is variance at work. This is adaptation of open educational resources at work. One of them is in the West African context for professionals in agriculture and agronomy. And the other one is in the East African context for school teachers.
And a meaning that the one in the West African context is also in French, has been translated. And then realizing how deep these variants go, because within those courses, we also have how to do pivot tables, and we show how to do that in R, Excel, Google Sheets, Open Office, and then all of those four and R Instat, so all of those five in French as well.
Yeah.
So seeing that kind of need even still when I thought I already knew the need.
Yeah. Well, and it was really interesting that in both of those talks, the talk came before the textbook work. And the textbook work, which had emerged from this, it was now clear that you did this in both cases. You sort of used this as a last slide in both of those talks to help say, well, not only is this work happening in these environments, but this is what it's led to and this is what it's leading to. And I thought you did that brilliantly. And I thought that in all those talks, it generated discussion. It helped people to see how they could get engaged, how they could get involved. And I believe this is the essence of building a community around this project, which is very exciting.
No, absolutely. Do you have any final things to say to sum up this podcast?
I guess the final thing to say is that we... Or maybe I don't know what you expected. I didn't know what to expect interacting with this community around this idea. And what I've come away with is a real sense of both validation, that this is not just a need we are feeling, but this is a need that others have and are feeling. But also a sense of urgency. This is something which there is a countervailing force, which is the way that others are using AI, which is replacing human-authored textbooks, replacing the structured processes and learning processes with essentially a use of AI, which is, may I argue, formulaic almost, in that you're just letting your students interact. There's a formula for how they interact with these large language models, which I'm very concerned about. And I'm not someone who's worried about students interacting with AI, but I am worried about educators who are encouraging interactions in ways that I worry are not guided enough. They're sort of formulaic. There's a difference. Maybe guiding and formulaic are two different things.
And this was something that was not in a guided formulaic sense, but we did discuss about these AI discussions within ICOTS in a previous podcast, just to signpost to that.
Yes, the previous episode we discussed in great detail. And maybe to come back to that, what do I mean by this difference between guided and formulaic? I suppose this comes back to what you were saying about humans in the loop.
Sure.
The guiding is really about having good humans in the loop in ways which are guiding people towards good statistical practice, which are really focused on that. And the formulaic is simply using the big language models as they come and saying, this is what we're training people for. So, yeah, I don't know. There's a subtle difference there that I'm worried about. And it's a whole nother episode to dig into that.
No, excellent. Well, thank you very much.
No, thank you. And congratulations on the work on the textbooks and how it's been received.
Thank you.